And I woke up at 1:33. You know how you remember what was on the clock radio? Bright red letters, 1:33, and I never went back to sleep. I have felt very strong in preaching lately. Had a rough year last year, but felt very strong in preaching lately. Today, I've put some passages and statements on my iPad, but I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say. A lot on my mind in the night last night. Some folks very close to us that we love, that we've working with, just a lot on my mind. And always helps me just to put that out there. So I do know this. I didn't just go eeny, meeny, miny, moe to pick this passage. God gave me this passage. And not sure what I'll say this morning. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Preached a similar message a few weeks ago when Brian sang the song Priceless. But God brought this to me actually from a text that I sent to someone. We've had a real ministry with the Hines and Phillips family. And that's been awesome. It's been neat, and at some point I might preach a message on the body of Christ and how the body of Christ works together and use that story. But just to highlight, it's been neat how that by divine intervention, God causes you to cross paths with certain people. I believe in divine appointments. Do you believe in that? I believe there's people you're supposed to meet. Let us remember that I shared last week that the world's living by luck and chance. The world's living by luck and chance. I hope my boat comes in. I hope I win the lottery. I hope this, I hope that. Living by luck and chance. They said to Jesus they were going to kill him, and he said, no, my time's not yet come. Your time's always ready. You're just living by luck and chance. Anything could happen to you today, but a righteous man's steps are ordered to the Lord. And when you come under the umbrella of God's grace, there's a huge provision, if I may say it in a way that's almost, this is a poor way, but this insurance protection you want, and that's a poor way to say it. But when you get under the umbrella of God's grace, there comes order to your life. Nothing comes into your life. Don't you think for one minute that God woke up in 2005 after years of using Pam and I in ministry with your prayers, that he woke up at 2005 and said, oh, mercy, Tom has leukemia. How did that happen? Now, I don't believe God brought that, even though I entitled the book The Day I Was Blessed with Leukemia, because God can take bad things and work them for good. But nothing comes into our life that God's unaware. Righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord, even when it's in uncharted territory. So the world's living by luck and chance out there. That's a risky business. I want to be led by the gentle shepherd. Can you relate to that? The gentle shepherd. Love opening with that song. Gentle shepherd. Vince does so well playing that lead part. It just has a feel to it. You guys can play that at my funeral. That'll be when I'm 105. Gentle shepherd. Did you know that Jesus doesn't drive you? The devil will drive you to do things you never dreamed you'd do. Oh, I know that from my own experience. There's things I ended up doing that if you would have told me that I would do those as a young man, I would say, oh, I'm smarter than that. I won't do that. The devil will drive you to do things you never thought you'd do. And you'll disappoint yourself and everybody else around you. Did you know that the gentle shepherd leads? And said, this is the way. Come this way. Come this way. Especially when you're starting out. And this is a message for another time, but you will mature to a point where the verse in Isaiah will come in that says, I heard a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk we in it. He'll expect you to step out with him behind, back here and want you to walk in faith. And that's a message for another time. When we start out, he so gently leads us. And as we're growing and in growing pains, he gently leads us. Here's the way. But there will come a time in your faith, older Christian, where he'll expect you to step out and you'll hear that voice behind you, it says, saying, this is the way, go that way. But you'll have to do some stepping out. in faith. Walking with God is an awesome thing. I love divine appointments and people that God puts in your path. And I believe that we were to meet the Hines and the Phillips family. And I'm thankful for that privilege for us to minister to them. Angie Smith originally texted me and said, our daughter is good friends. Gracie is good friends with Addison. And of course, you are aware of the tragedy of Jenny Hines passing away in her sleep from a bleed in the brain. That's a painful thing. It is nice when you have a link. It was nice to be at the hospital and be able to say to Ryan and his sister sitting there, who had lost their sister, it was nice to be able to say, I lost a sister. I understand. She was 25 years old. God lets us use our sufferings to minister to others. But Angie first alerted me and said, there's a young woman who died in her sleep, and her daughter is friends with Gracie. There's Angie. There's Gracie. Isn't that interesting? Part of the body. Then I get a text from Linda Browning and Allie Rao. And they say that there's a woman we work with whose daughter passed away in her sleep. And I'm thinking, this must be the same person. That's too much coincidence in a small community. Only to find that Allie and Linda worked with Sue Phillips, the mother of Jenny Hines, who had passed away at Prue Utilities. So we see God using Gracie and Angie, and then we see as they're all praying for the different members of the family. And then I learned that Kevin knows Ryan, the son of Sue, the brother to the deceased, pretty well, actually. And then God spoke to me to go and visit, and I became a spoke in that same wheel, not a more important spoke. Name of the message today is Chosen. Not a more important spoke. Do you know the body works together? Sometimes you're called to be the mouth. I was that day. I'd have never made it up there without the other parts of the body. I'd had a hard time going up there and talking to that family without my lungs. And the lungs are hidden and nobody ever sees them. But they're so important that God protected them with the rib cage. Function in the body. I told the mentoring group, jealousy in the body will ruin the function of the body. Be who you are. Did you ever try to load a wagon of hay without your elbow? Had my arm hurt before? Try to load stuff right in front of you without your elbow? The body of Christ works together. We had the privilege, the honor, chosen. Listen, isn't it cool that God chose us? Isn't that cool? To work with the Hines and Phillips family. I was so tickled that he chose us. And he used Angie, and he used Kevin, and he used Gracie, and he used Allie, and he used Linda. And then he spoke to me. I wasn't any more important than them. I just happened to be the mouth of the body. But I knew God woke me up in a dream, yes. God woke me up in a dream, and I wasn't going to share that initially, but I felt God told me to share that this morning. God woke me up in a dream on a Thursday morning and said, I want you to go up and pray with Sue Phillips. She's lost her daughter and now she's had a heart attack from the stress. Can you imagine being in ICU in Fort Wayne with the knowledge that your daughter has passed away and you need to raise your granddaughter and you've got 80% blockage and 90% blockage and you have to have a quadruple bypass? When I went in to pray with her, and this is no secret for nurses all saw it as well, or I wouldn't reveal it, for Hope to hang on to, she had a picture of her deceased daughter in her lap. God spoke to me and said, go up and pray with them. I thought, oh my, I need to handle this right. They don't know me. I'm a total stranger. So I got a hold of Linda, and Allie at Prue Utilities who know Sue. And I said, can you get a hold of her and let's do this right? Let's get permission. Do you know that God works within the boundaries of kindness? We don't just go busting in on people. Pardon my English. You just don't go busting in on people. And, you know, I see people claim they're being led of God. They just bust into the scene. You know, it's interesting that Daniel requested of the king that he not eat the meat that had been offered to the idols. He requested. We want to have the spirit of Christ in our community. God will use us. I'm going somewhere with this. God will choose us. He will choose us. He could have picked all kind of church bodies to minister to the Caldwell family, but he picked us. And I love it. Stay with me. God doesn't play favorites, but I'm going somewhere with this. I want to be chosen, but I want to do it right, because that has all to do with whether I'm chosen. God wants me to bear his name in the proper way. Are you with me? He wants me to demonstrate Christ in the proper way. Oh, there's others could have done it just as well or better, but he chose us. We got to do it. And so Linda and Allie got back with me and they said, she's fine with that. In fact, she went to school with you. And I thought, oh no, she didn't. And then I realized she knew me in my freshman and sophomore year when I was competing for the good grades and on the debate team before I ended up getting expelled my senior year. And I thought, oh, lucky for me, she doesn't even remember me that year. People said, why are you graduated a different year when I get in the yearbook and look? And I said, because I got expelled from school my senior year and I had to go back and take adult classes at Wabash Vocational School to get my diploma. Bitterness and anger got in my heart. That'll ruin you. That'll ruin you. Bitterness and anger got in my heart. That'll ruin you every time. So I got permission. I went up. And these are special things, so I want to handle them carefully. So let me say it this way. While having a wonderful prayer time, I'm just one spoke of the wheel here. We got God choosing us, and we got Angie involved in this. We got Gracie involved in this. We got Kevin involved in this. We've got Allie Rao involved in it. We've got Linda Browning involved in it. Now I'm involved in it. Had a wonderful prayer time with the family. And then I'll put it this way, someone in the family said to me who had wept, if I may use an old-fashioned word, more than just cried, who had really wept, said, I went to the chapel and asked the Lord to send us a pastor. I went to the chapel and asked the Lord to send us a pastor. My reply to that was, I am glad that God chose us. I am glad and honored that God chose us. As this individual went with this dear family member facing this incredibly traumatic surgery, which could have obviously gone south very quickly with all the blockage and a quadruple bypass, dealing with the grief, you know, that the heart affects the body and attitude and how we're feeling in our heart. Heaviness of spirit will take your health away. That's why it's so important to have joy and to encourage those in the hospital, because healing is affected by our inner attitude. I believe that with all my heart. God works with that as we have the joy of the Lord. And it'll bring, even says that the joy of the Lord will bring healing to the bones. And I have leukemia written beside that verse in my Bible. But this individual in the family with tears had gone to the chapel and asked for a pastor. We got chosen. And then Vince came to me and told me that there's yet another family member that he's gotten acquainted with. And then a family here attending the church came up to me and said, do you know who we are? And I said, I think so. Only to find that this was a brother of Sue's husband and family. And I don't want to be too personal, but this is important. Therefore, I'm going ahead and using it. Do you see how we were all involved in that? And then we tell the story and you begin to pray and the body works together. When we present the proper heart, it is then that we are chosen. It isn't about who you are, your name, your position, whether you're a pastor or any of that. God chooses us based on the heart he sees within us. John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I could only say one thing back to that family member when they text me again a second time after leaving the hospital and said, thank you so much for coming. I text back, and I was actually going to have the text on the wall, but that's a little too personal. And I actually text back and said, I am honored that he chose me that day. I think there's times that God wanted to choose me, but my heart wasn't where it should be. Oh, I was ticked off about something ridiculous, or I was anger takes you out, or it doesn't make you lose your salvation, but what am I saying to you? There's a key to this whole thing being chosen. There has been the false idea among evangelicals over the years as we've attempted to expound the Bible and the scripture. There's been this false idea that somehow you're a special person, you're chosen, and God's a respecter of persons and he only picks certain people. No. God is no respecter of persons. Romans 12, 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now we know that there are different callings. Kathy, I used to fuss with Matt about this. You might remember that. He'd say, I don't agree with that. I think there's special blessing on some people. And I'd say, Matt, there is if there's a calling. If you have a special calling, he'll give you a special giftedness. I got him to give in just a little. I had such fun with that guy. He had such a great mind. The whole chosen thing, what is it that makes God choose me? I said to this family member, I'm so honored that God chose me. I'm so honored that he chose CMO to work with that family. He could have picked any number of people, but he chose us. Whether we are chosen has to do with the heart we present. Yes. Oh, in the mentoring group, we've been studying leaders. Stay with me. And we've been talking currently about David. Samuel, awesome King Samuel. Prophet Samuel, excuse me, King Saul, Prophet Samuel. Awesome Prophet Samuel was told by God to go to the house of Jesse, 1 Samuel 16. Quit mourning over Saul. He's done. I've left him. My spirit has left him. Go to the house of Jesse. Stay with me. Go to the house of Jesse and anoint a king of his sons. Samuel shows up. They're fearful. Samuel was an awesome man of God. And that might seem a little strange that they were fearful, but they said, are you come in peace? Because Samuel had a presence with him, and God had even used him for judgment at times, and we'll not go into that. But there's a place for that, and we'll see that as we move toward the tribulation hour and the coming of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can use individuals in that regard as well. Samuel came and said to Jesse, that he wanted to see his sons. And we've talked in this in the mentoring group, and there's so much can be brought out from it. Eliab stepped up. Eliab was a strong, tall, masculine, muscular-looking guy, and Samuel said to himself, this has to be the guy. This is the guy. God said, in him. In him. So Samuel says, boy, that's who I'd have picked. But whatever, you're in charge. Well, who's your next son? Abinadab. Bring him by. I forget all the names now. He, one by one, they went by. God, he said, is it him? Is it him? Is it him? It wasn't him. When he got all done, I love this passage. He said, do you have any more sons? I know God sent me here to anoint a son. He said, well, there's a young man watching the sheep, David. He said, call him. Listen, if you forget everything else I said this morning, what God knew is that David was the one sitting on the hillside writing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." We know that some of the Psalms were written when he was young. And I don't know how old he was when he wrote some of those Psalms, but God saw the heart, and that's how you get chosen. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart, and your life might be a tattered mess. You might be beat up to pieces, but I want you to know that God wants to choose you, but you've got to step up and say, "Yes, hey, I want to be chosen." God wants to choose you. He doesn't play favorites. Don't get off on this, "Oh, they're chosen and I'm not. I'm not as good." God just picks certain people. God is no respecter of persons. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Matthew 22:14 has troubled people for years, and it shouldn't. Many are called and few are chosen. And I've heard people explain that verse, "Well, I'm not part of the chosen few." There couldn't be a deeper lie than that. The key to choice is when I step up and present a heart that's talented. No. Eliab didn't impress Samuel. Structure impressive? No. The sons went by one by one. I can see Samuel thinking, "Man, God and I are pretty close. He sure has used me to anoint kings in the past. You got any more boys? And it says David came up from the sheep, and he was young. And it says, I like it the way it says in the Old English, his beard hadn't come in yet. He was kind of boyish looking and red-faced, estimating probably to be about 17 at that time. I don't know. He came up from watching the sheep, and God said, "That's the man." Because God knew the heart of David, and that he was a man after God's own heart. I had this picture up, I think a few weeks ago. If not, I had the saying up. God's not picking on you. God has picked you. That's why you can't do what everybody else does. That's why you can't get away with what everybody else can. You are chosen. When that still small voice says, and boy, it's tempting to call you by name just because I want you to take a hold of this. When God draws that line that seems a little strict, go ahead and let him draw it. He's protecting a weakness that you have. I have some convictions that are incredibly strict. And some could look on and say, "Boy, he sure is legalistic." No, I'm weak in that area. So the Holy Spirit, knowing me better than I know myself, has spoken to me over and over, "Tom, don't go there." I've had people say to me before when I was younger, "Oh, that's ridiculous to be that strict on that. They don't know me as well as they think they do." No, I need to be very disciplined in that particular area. Does that make sense? And I don't know what God is saying to your heart, but I want to present a heart that's obedient. Are you with me? I want to present a heart that's obedient. Kevin, it meant the world to me. When you were away on your trip, I was praying for you and Eric, and the pictures you sent was awesome. We called them Paul and Barnabas. Don't think for a minute Paul and Barnabas wouldn't go to Bike Week. Absolutely. Kevin said to me, "I felt power of God stronger on that trip sometimes than I do here." And when you texted me and said, "I want the pearl of great price," man, that gets to me way, way down here. I do too, brother. I'm after the pearl of great price. This other stuff just doesn't get it. I'm telling you, it doesn't get it. When you step up and say, it's all right, Lord, you can be strict with me. I am weakling here, and I am a weakling here. And that varies from person to person. I don't run around, stand on people's porches and look in their windows and see what they're doing. I don't worry about those things. But what I do say to them is let the author and finisher of our faith, let the mastermind of God, the precious Holy Spirit, the partner that wants to accompany you everywhere you go, let him dictate your life, because he is perfect. The ways of the Lord are perfect. And when you present an obedient heart and a surrendered heart, and God scans to look for who he'll pick, he says, I'll take that one, and I'll take that one, and I'll take that one. And it's not because they're Eliab and bigger and more talented and more impressive. It's because he knows the heart of that person. That's why I could say to the family the other day, when they gave me a wonderful compliment, thank you for coming, and said some things that I won't repeat. Honestly, I wasn't trying to just be humble. My feeling was, I feel honored that he chose me. He picked me. Step up. Step up. We preach the same thing every Sunday. We just come at it from a different direction. Because you know all the stuff that'll happen in your life in a close walk with God. There'll be all kinds of things we don't even need to address. Because if you develop an obedient heart and hear God's voice, I don't need to burn up your time going through all kinds of details. But what I do want to see you do is step up and offer a heart so you can be chosen. When Kevin and Eric went away, I gave them my laminated card that always goes on the handlebars of my motorcycle. And I said, guys, when I go somewhere on my motorcycle without my wife, I always take this card with me. It has road smudge on it, but it's a laminated card that says, it's my joy to honor you, and all I do, I honor you, which is, of course, from the song Amazing Love. Lord, I want to honor you. How do you get chosen? Is it about, boy, I did everything perfect and they gave me 173 rules and I kept every one of them? No. It's an attitude of, Lord, I want to honor you at work today. It's an attitude of, I want to be a neighbor that's honorable. I want to be somebody in my community that people can pull off the side of the road when I'm taking my walk and they can say, I don't know you very well, can I give you a prayer request? I want to honor him in everything. How are you chosen? Many are called. God wants everybody to step into that. Are you with me? God wants everybody to step into that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because most people want the benefits, but they're not ready to make the commitment and the surrender and the open heart. I like the story in Luke chapter 10. The word chosen shows up there in the one translation. And it's definitely the original language. Translations word it differently. Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. Stay with me, this is good stuff. Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was, oh my goodness, I wonder if he'll want ranch. Or if he'll, oh, he might want Diet Ranch. I'm not sure. Should I have got, oh, Mary, should I have gotten both? Well, maybe he likes Italian. Do you think he'll like my rolls? Oh, wait, they're burning. My rolls are burning. Get the rolls, they're burning. Oh, should we have 5 courses, 6 courses? What do you think, taste this gravy. Is this salt okay? Mary was in the other room, and she was sitting on the floor in a humble posture, listening to Jesus. And Jesus observed all of this going on, and he very much appreciated the nice meal. I know that he did. But he said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but you lack one main thing, and that's what Mary has chosen. What a gentle rebuke. It was gentle, gentle shepherd, but that was a rebuke. Martha, Martha. And that line rings out as I observe the American church today. Will you receive this? And I, if I may compliment you, I think you do a little better than most. If I can brag on you a little. But I see this in the American church, and I wonder if God wouldn't say to most churches this morning, Martha, Martha, you worried about all the details, and you got to get everything just right, and you got all your stuff, and you got all your literature and your technology and your beautiful place and your landscape and your wonderful, but you're missing out on sitting right down here and drawing strength from me and getting to know me. My friends, that is the key to being chosen. That's the key, Mike. That's the key. And I love this passage. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. The heart choices we make get God's attention. God wants to choose you. He does. He wants to choose you. But the heart choices that I make get God's attention. What kind of heart am I offering? What kind of heart am I offering? David comes walking up. It's awesome. Read it in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Samuel says he's the one. And then we've been studying the chapter of David and Goliath. An old story with so many powerful things. And we see the servant's heart. As the father Jesse, hearing of the war between the Philistines, some say Philistines, mom always said Philistines, so that's what I say. I'd love to see her act out this story. Mom not only told you a Bible story, she acted it out. I just had a vision of mom acting it out. And she would get up off her chair, and she would spit all over you too, incidentally, like I do. And she would walk back and forth, and when she told you the story of David and Goliath, she was so animated and such an actor, you thought you were there. You thought you were there. That isn't an ADD moment. Get the word into your children. You know what scares me about our grandkids? I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about the American church as a whole. Grateful for wonderful grandchildren. They know all the latest stars, and they know all the latest video games, but not very many of them can tell you a Bible story. The well that I drew from when I faced death with cancer and our house burning down the same year. The well that I drew from when my mother died in my arms. The well that I drew from when we battled 15 years of addiction in the family was the foundational stories that mother had taught us that built faith. And our kids are growing up and they know all the latest stuff and gimmicks, but they can't tell you one Bible story. David was sent to check on his brothers. He arrives on the scene bringing cheese and bread and things for his older brothers. They were disgusted at him. His oldest brother, Eliab, says, "What are you doing here? We know the naughtiness of your heart," is the way it says in the one translation. "We know the naughtiness." My mom always used that word, so I like that. "You know the naughtiness of your heart. You're just coming to see the stuff and see the war. You're just here to see the stuff." He said, "What I do? Is there not a cause? Did I do anything? What I do wrong? I didn't do anything. I'm just bringing food." And while he's there, the giant Goliath steps out and defies the name of the living God. And that little boy, what kind of heart do we have? That little boy steps up and says, "You're going to let him defy the living God in the armies of Israel." And the word got to Saul, King Saul, that someone was willing to challenge Goliath. For the decision had been made, I don't know who made it, that if someone could one-on-one, why have all the casualties? If someone could one-on-one defeat Goliath, let's call it a day. That's the war then. Goliath was 9 feet tall, very intimidated. His spearhead weighed 15 pounds. And David said, I'll go fight him. I'm amazed that Saul let him do it. Saul put his own armor on him. David clanged around in that stuff. He said, I can't fight him in this. God wants to use you the way you are. He wants to take the sin out. He wants to get the ugliness out of your heart. But he wants to use you the way. Don't try to become a preacher and turn into me. No. One of me is enough. Don't anybody say anything. Well, that's a mistake we made. We go off and we clone. God wants to use you the way that you are in Galahans at the air base. At Square D, he wants you to be the person you are with Christ in you. But when you step up and you offer that heart, as David did, God will say, okay, we need people to make into warriors. You, I'll choose you. Because he knows the heart that you had. He knew on the hillside that David was in worship alone when no one was watching. And he was penning psalms. I want to be that one that God says, I choose you. Find me a minister to go and do it. I'll choose him. I want to be that one. It's no respecter of persons. We're all part of a body that works together. But the key to being chosen is the kind of heart you present. Are you offering a servant's heart, an open heart, a pliable heart? You know the shame of it. You know you got to have a pliable heart. I won't stay on that long. I'm almost done. But, you know, to be pliable, Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to. It's so sad when people in the body of Christ won't be pliable, you know. Come on, work with me here, you know. Work with me here. We don't have to do everything exactly the same, and we can use different methods. Let's be pliable and work with Christ in us, a servant's heart, an open heart, a pliable heart, a surrendered heart. As we know, David went with the 5 stones and took down Goliath. The stone from the sling, his normal stuff he used, nobody else's skin, used what he was familiar with, hit him right here. A stone hit him right here. He fell forward. And David ran up and took his own sword and cut his head off. And Israel was saved from the Philistines. Awesome story. But my question for you is what heart are you presenting this morning? Let me look back over this. God wants to choose you. This passage I skipped, but I'll leave this. Acts 13:22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And he'll fulfill my will. He's a man after my own heart, and he will fulfill my will. Do you know that Jesus is looking for people who will present this kind of heart? He's actually scanning the crowd. You say, now, Pastor, is that totally true? Yes. In John chapter 4, when he sat with the woman at the well, it said, the true worshipers, there's the person that presents the right heart. The true worshipers, the person who God is worth most to them. They seek first the kingdom. The true worshipers worship, listen, the true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Daddy used to lean over the pulpit and say, God's looking for the one who says, I'll be the true real deal. And then he says, we'll take you. You're on the team. I'll be the true, real deal. We'll take you. We'll take you. So the choice is ours. Present yourself. Paul the Apostle, in Romans 12, had found such incredible quality of life and joy by surrendering himself to God that in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you, which means beg, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, do it. He did what I'm doing this morning. Only did it better. He said, I beg you, do it. And that's amazing for a man to say that had been in dungeons. So I shared with you last week, we talked a little bit about the conditions Paul was in at times, but he says, I beg you. God is looking for that person to choose. He seeketh such to worship him. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you for your attention this morning. This is a very simple message, but it's the key. Let's conduct ourselves and follow God in a way that he'll continue to choose us. Oh, he loves us regardless. He wouldn't have quit loving me last Thursday if I wouldn't have been close enough to hear his voice, or he wouldn't have quit loving me. But the key to being used in the body of Christ and being effective is to stay close to him. Keep that close relationship. Lord, thank you so much for each one here. Thank you for assembling us today. Be with us as we go from this place. Watch over us. Take these truths, anything I've said in the flesh, anything that was my own idea, melt it. May they not remember it, but those things I believe for the most part, those things that were anointed by you, I'd ask they would take root in the hearts here in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.